This. Propaganda and Left Opinion program here on your people-supported free radio station, KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Join me for a brief peek behind the video veil of Monopoly media manipulation and an examination of the news you're not supposed to know. LGBTQ advocates are once again pouncing on Education Secretary Betsy DeVos for refusing to directly answer a question about whether she opposed discrimination against students based on their sexual orientation or gender identity. Poor Betsy. Betsy was terrified. She was testifying before a House Appropriations Subcommittee about President Trump's education budget. She was asked by U.S. Representative Mark Pocan, a Democrat of Wisconsin, one of eight openly gay House members, whether she opposed discrimination against LGBTQ individuals. Referring to comments by DeVos made earlier in the hearing when she attempted to defend her decision to rescind Obama-era guidance intended to reduce racial disparities when it comes to the frequency and severity of school suspensions, Pocan posed the following question to DeVos, quote, "You mentioned race, religion, and I noticed you never mentioned sexual orientation or gender identity. Do you think it's all right for a school to discriminate based on someone's sexual orientation or gender identity?" End quote. Now, I'm getting this from MetroWeekly.com. And I'm reading it because I'm doing radio, but I've watched the video. And Betsy was sitting there, you know, had her game face on, but her game face changed a little bit when she was asked that question, and it changed to the patrician mask, which is a nice smile. And I would say that it pulls up the cheeks a little bit. It's really a rictus of terror, and they're hiding it as best they can. She put on her patrician rictus, and she paused before responding, saying, quote, "We have laws that cover discriminatory efforts, and our Office for Civil Rights has continued to be very diligent in investigating any allegation of discrimination and will continue to do so," end quote. "So is that a yes or no?" Pocan asked. "I'm trying to get a yes or no, I guess, on that." And she said, "We follow the law as this body has defined." So, in other words, she hates trans people. I mean, everyone knows that. And she really wants to institute a Christian religion supported by the federal government, by subsidies, that can, in the same manner as white flight, since the civil rights decisions of the 60s, allow an anti-trans flight so that people can get away from trannies. Hi there, I'm a tranny. I get to use the word tranny because I'm a tranny. And I've noticed in the last couple of weeks that things have gotten worse. It's not that I didn't expect them to get worse. I didn't kid myself that there was going to be anything but a backlash after Orange was elected president. But I've noticed that there's been a change. And I think that people who had been given more or less, at first dog whistle and then more or less explicit permission to act out their worst fear-based group evil by Trump, are now feeling that they can and I suspect this is subconscious now, just because the window's been open for a while, they can now act out. And certainly DeVos could have simply said that she was against trans, and the Trump base would have loved it. They would have, you know, rallied to her support, and all the Nazis would have held their signs and torches and stuff and jumped up and down and been really happy about it. But she didn't, because of habit, I suppose. But there are other headlines I've noticed. ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, is forcing trans immigrants, women, to bathe with men. And then there's this, which came out today in the Wall Street Journal by Abigail Schreier. And if you remember the name Abigail Schreier, then it's probably because she's the one who came up with this bogus idea that there's such a thing as rapid onset gender dysphoria. There isn't. She made it seem as if there were for a bit before she was discredited, and has been very active fighting back the terrible trans onslaught. She's writing the Wall Street Journal, and she says, quote, it has become rightly fashionable to ridicule the idea of safe spaces, places where adults can hide and sulk like children, avoiding ideas they find threatening. But women need actual safe spaces, not from intellectual challenge, of course, but from physical threat of harm from men. As a biological matter, she writes, most women are physically outmatched by men. Men are stronger and faster than we are, though we're better able to tolerate pain and tend to live longer. House Democrats introduced a bill this month that would outlaw safe spaces for women. The Equality Act, so-called because, to put it charitably, Democrats excel at branding, purports merely to extend protections of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 to people who are gay and transgender. And she goes on. But I want to go back to what she said and the subtlety of it. It's not particularly subtle to me, but maybe it is to you. Men, stronger and faster. Watch out. Men are stronger and faster. And what she means is men, meaning me, people like me, are being allowed access to bathrooms. So it's the bathroom hysteria again. I transitioned in 2001. I did it on the air, actually. I was pretty clumsy about it. Worked for a long time at feminizing my voice. And pretty much gave up on it on air anyway. And this bathroom thing, this terror, has been there the whole time. And Abigail Schreier brings up the fact that women have been raped by men. And of course, she wants you to conflate the idea of men with the idea of male to female transgender people. Transsexuals like myself, she wants you to think of us, of me, as male. And so she just incorporates it into her sentences and continues to make her argument without acknowledging that she's, you know, done this little stunt. This is something I'm very used to. And I remember when I first transitioned, I was very concerned. I was, you know, conscious, of course, of the impact and the power of rape culture. And whenever I would go into a restroom, I would, and I actually am still pretty much this way, I'm very reluctant to use my voice at all. If I have to say anything, sometimes I have an ally come in with me to a public restroom, and they'll start talking to me, and I'll be like, oh my God, do not talk to me. Because I don't want to answer back. I don't want to answer in a baritone voice. So I might whisper, or I might feminize my voice. I'm not going to demonstrate that right now. So it isn't hard, especially under Trump, to push this envelope a little further for the backlash. And the backlash is definitely happening. The Wall Street Journal has a paywall, so I wasn't able to print it up for to comment it on it on air. So I turned to the American Conservative, which quotes it. But it starts off that article at theamericanconservative.com starts off with, remember this video, not safe for work, of a male-to-female transgender going off on a GameStop employee in a fit of rage over misgendering, even kicking over a display? Under a proposed federal law supported by the Democratic Party, strong biological males like that would have federally guaranteed access to woman-only spaces. Fear. It's the brand of conservatives, and really you can't be a conservative without being a fearful person. So that works, and that's who they're turning on now, on top of everyone else. On top of everyone who isn't a white cisgender male. So I want to turn that on its head. Let me pick on cisgender women. Remember this video of Florida woman? No, I'm not agreeing with the Florida woman thing, Florida man thing. This is an attack on the poor. People go crazy. They get desperate. Poverty will do that to you. But there is, that's the meme, right? So remember this video of a woman, Nicole Dykema, and her explosive and knife booby-trapped home. And you can watch the video and watch someone get blown up by, well, now I would be afraid to get into a bathroom with Nicole Dykema. I don't have to because she's incarcerated. But I'm just saying this is the type of tactic. Find one person in any group. You know, transgender women are murderers. They are pedophiles in exactly the same proportion as the general population. Humans are murderers. Humans are pedophiles in a very small proportion of the population. And this is also true of trans. But if you want to develop hatred towards trans people, people of color, Jews, socialists, well, get a video that is frightening, put it up, put it on a conservative website, and, you know, it's fairly effective. So this trans backlash is getting worse and worse. It's in the news, and I simply want to make you aware of it. It's being called radical egalitarianism at its most berserk. That's what you call allowing trans women simply to be themselves and to, for God's sake, pee when they need to. Now, turning to a different angle here in Portland, the People's Republic of Portland, as it's sneeringly called by conservatives, and quoting Blogtown in the Portland Mercury, the Portland City Council will formally recognize International Transgender Day of Visibility for the first time at today's council meeting. Today is an opportunity to celebrate and draw attention to transgender people and issues across the globe. In Portland, that means talking about how the trans community is impacted by the city's struggle to create affordable and equitable housing. During a 90-minute afternoon panel today, the council will hear from five trans people of different ages and races about their experiences with housing and homelessness. And it goes on to quote Mickey Gillette. It's a page and a half, I guess. A quick and easy read. You can find it at Portland Mercury. Now you're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell, the trans bomb. And I may regret that branding. Anyway, it's 12 minutes after 9 o'clock. And you're listening to KBOO Portland. Thank the gods for KBOO Portland, still here after 50 years, about to go into another fundraising effort in just a couple of weeks. I want to remind you that local artist Amy Starship has designed a t-shirt for Press Watch and for KBOO fundraising. This will be available in a couple of weeks during our fund drive, and you'll be able to call in and start up your membership or even renew your pledge and get your own Press Watch t-shirt. And I hope that you will, hope that this works. So now I want to talk about some more general issues. Attorney General William P. Barr is expected to miss House Democrats' deadline to provide Congress the full report documenting Special Counsel Robert S. Mueller III's investigation into Russian interference in the 2016 election, increasing the likelihood lawmakers will subpoena the Justice Department. That is from the Washington Post. Oh, God, is she going on about Russiagate? Yes, I am. I'll explain this in a minute. Representative Gerald Nadler, the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, said that during a Wednesday phone call with Barr, the Attorney General said it would be weeks, not months, before lawmakers can see the report, making it apparent that the department will not meet the April 2nd deadline that we set earlier this week. It's a quote, apparent that the department will not meet the April 2nd deadline. He's going to fight like hell not to release the full report. Even after there was a resolution asking that the entire thing, well, demanding that the entire thing be released. American public want to see what's in there? And the amazing thing to me is that, and it's appalling, it's just another one of those realizations that I have found hard to swallow since the election of the Orange Monster, that the American public can basically be browbeaten into accepting ideas. It's one of those things, when you really think about it, it's not that shocking. Okay, they do this. When enough people are intimidated, then there's a whole group of other people who will simply start repeating what is considered to be safe. And that's what's going on right now, but I'll have more on that in a minute. Barr would not promise, this is again from the Washington Post, that an unredacted full report with the underlying documents, evidence would be provided to Congress and the American people, Nadler said. Quote, we're not happy about that, to put it mildly, end quote. So this is going to go on and on. And if you've been under a rock for the last week or so, Barr informed Congress on Sunday of Mueller's main findings, writing in a four-page letter to the heads of House and Senate Judiciary Committees, that the special counsel did not establish a criminal conspiracy between the Trump campaign and Russia to sway the election, and offered no conclusion on whether the president sought to obstruct justice during the investigation. The report is several hundred pages, but less than 1,000, Nadler said, and Democrats say it is vital to see its details before they can determine whether they agree with Barr's assessment. Believing there may be evidence of collusion, Mueller did not consider as part of his findings. On the question of obstruction, Washington Post writes, Barr wrote in his summary for lawmakers that Deputy Attorney General Rod J. Rosenstein had decided the evidence was, quote, not sufficient, end quote, to conclude Trump had, quote, committed an obstruction of justice offense, end quote. Nadler said he did not discuss with Barr why he made that determination, but Democrats have vowed to look further into the evidence. And goes on to say that they will want to depose Mueller after Barr. That's what Nadler said. So now, speaking for myself, meanwhile, Representative Adam Schiff of California is still saying that he has seen evidence of collusion with Russia, and Trump is so furious about that that not only did he include him in an enemy list of people that he wants barred from interviews with major news organizations, he wants Adam Schiff kicked out of Congress. He's raging about that, because that's what he's good at, is raging. Imagine what the society would have said if Obama had issued a blacklist to the media against the birther conspiracists. That's what's happened. Be shocked. Regain your humanity. Yes, we have all become accommodated to fascist gestures. This is a fascist gesture. We have crossed over into fascism. It's pretty mild at this point by comparison, especially if you're white like me. But this is no time to be saying it could be worse, because it's getting worse rapidly. And this is the time in which the efforts for various forms of backlash against every measure of progress made in this society over the last 150 years is going to be rolled back unless we fight like demons. So now, the pussy grabber-in-chief has told us all in no uncertain terms to stop thinking and talking about the investigations against him. Right-wing pundits are crowing that the supporters of the investigation must now apologize or even face punishment for their treasonous suppositions. Even left pundits have leapt to the service of the traditional circular firing squad. And if you haven't guessed by now, let me make it clear that I do not offer an apology for my analysis and never will. It's true that the few Democratic-leaning corporate news agencies have devoted too much of their airtime and or print space to the Russiagate scandal. I used to call it impeachment porn and enjoyed watching it with popcorn, but it's not as if they had intended to use that time for a cogent analysis of mass incarceration, imperialism, or capitalism. Trump's handpicked Attorney General William Barr, who had publicly referred to the Mueller investigation as nothing more than an illegitimate attempt to overthrow the presidency, he said that in 2017, has produced a mendacious post-it note summary of the Mueller report and does not intend to release it to the congressional investigative committees nor to the public without a protracted fight. He doesn't intend to release it at all. And of course, the reason he does not want to release it is that it undoubtedly contains a damning cavalcade of evidence that the president is a corrupt fool. You can still watch YouTube videos of Trump calling on Russia to undermine his election opponent. Russia, if you're listening, And the historic record shows that Trump obstructed justice by firing FBI Director Comey over, as Trump said, the Russia investigation. That's just one public piece of the evidence. So there's no doubt that Trump is guilty of high crimes and misdemeanors. The weird thing is that, though no one of consequence has laid eyes on the report, the media, including New York Times, is pretending that the issue is settled and Trump is somehow exonerated just because his stooge says he is. I have maintained from the start on this program, Press Watch on KBOO Portland, that the loss of the presidential election to the lesser number of voters may be attributed, as Greg Palast so ably shows, to the Republican vote theft machine and not to Russia's retaliatory psychometric meddling. But the Mueller investigation is valuable as a tool for reducing the Trump camp's power, and I have followed it carefully and with great hope. At this juncture in history, there is a powerful mass delusion that Trump has won. And that's the part that is so hard. I just don't want to believe that. There's a joke that I've told for years that I learned from my German professor. I guess I learned it in 1978. And you're not going to laugh because I don't remember the formula for the joke all that well, but the essence of it was, if you yell anything loud enough at a German citizen, and I suppose this might have applied in 1978 better than it does now, he or she will do it. You yell anything loud enough at a German, they will do it. And some wag had demonstrated this by putting on a uniform and yelled at people in the subway in a German town to get on the floor, and they did. So this is a big joke, but I don't know that it applies to Germans anymore. Evidently applies to Americans. If you yell anything loud enough and with enough authority and power at Americans, they'll repeat it and believe it. And this is what's going on right now. Mass delusion. We know nothing, practically nothing effectively, about the Mueller investigations report. But I can assure you that in just a few weeks' time, the smug vindictiveness of the Trump camp will turn to a blind fury as Congress subpoenas the hundreds of pages of that report. Trump seems, for now, to truly think his machinations have been victorious and final. His weak, mendacious, bullying personality will eventually implode when he realizes that the trouble for him has only truly begun. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187. Pardon me while I adjust my microphone. Number to call, 503-231-8187. Topics, backlash, particularly against trans persons like myself. Backlash generally. The Mueller investigation, you want to talk about that? 503-231-8187. And I'll stand for trans right now. If you're afraid of someone like me in the bathroom, well, this is a rape culture, so I understand. I adjust my behavior when I enter a restroom, public restroom. But really, it's just fear, and I think people have had enough time to really look at and consider and meet people like me and understand that we are human beings and you don't have to fall for the fear. And no one needs to fear me or trans women entering a public restroom. And this is just another way to divide us. It's something that's simply repeated until the fear is increased, same as the attack on Muslims, same as the attack on immigrants. How ridiculous that this country attacks immigrants. So, I want to turn to Ralph Nader. I'm going to quote something from his article in Common Dreams. The first part of the article kind of repeats some of what I just said, but also gets down on the on the media, mass distraction. There's truth to that. I think lefties are overemphasizing it a bit right now. And I think what we really need to do is point to how the DNC has been mendacious in its approach. The DNC has taken a ruling class approach to losing the election. They didn't really want for us to look at what Greg Palast had to say about how the election was lost, because then our thoughts would trip lightly to how the Democrats stole the election from Bernie Sanders. Did I say stole the election from Bernie Sanders? I meant to say stole the election from Bernie Sanders. There are specifics about that. And they really, really don't want you thinking about that, ever. So they've got common cause with Trump when it comes to that. Therefore, the fantasy that the Russian psychometric ads through the elections is nonsense. Made things worse, I'm sure. But it didn't produce a majority. And it didn't close the polls in Detroit. Republicans did that. Anyway, quoting Ralph Nader, again, the number to call 503-231-8187. Trump couldn't have distracted the mass dittohead media any better from his true crimes. These include, and this is the part I really wanted to get to, unlawful warmaking, corruption, wasting public funds, unlawfully handcuffing or firing the federal cops whose job it is to save the lives, health, safety, and economic assets of all the American people from big corporate predators across the land. Ralph Nader says, consider all the print, TV, and radio time the mass media used on the Mueller Russian probe compared to Trump's cruelty and viciousness from his brazen deregulation or open flouting of statutorily mandated government missions. I'm going to stop there and talk about Ralph Nader for a second. It's appropriate that Ralph would talk about this, because if it weren't for Ralph, we wouldn't even freaking have seatbelts. Certainly wouldn't have the life-saving safety devices that are incorporated in every car and which save somewhere on the nature of 10,000 lives a year, maybe more, and prevent a great many more injuries. These policies, he writes, have directly harmed innocent children, the elderly, patients, consumers, workers, and have wreaked environmental ruin, polluting the air, water, and soil with lethal toxins. He proudly took away protections, leaving defenseless humans to suffer more deadly coal dust, coal ash, and coal pollution. He has blocked our government's responses to the climate crisis looming everywhere. He has gotten away with massive federal deficits caused by his tax holidays for corporations and the rich, including the Trump family. Take that, next generation of Americans. He backs for-profit colleges who have committed serial crimes against their impoverished students while heavily subsidizing these corporations with your tax dollars. He is pushing to weaken or eliminate modest controls over Imperial Wall Street, upsetting even Wall Streeters like Timothy Geithner, setting stage for another Wall Street collapse on the economy, causing workers to lose their pensions and savings before they, as taxpayers, are required to again bail out the Wall Street speculators and crooks. This is where I actually say something that might be useful to you. Setting the stage for another Wall Street collapse on the economy. Are you, maybe like a lot of workers, there's not a damn thing you can do about it. But there are things that you can do to prepare for yet another 2007. He is pushing to weaken... He lies repeatedly about current realities, falsely brags about conditions he is actually worsening. He opposes any increase in the frozen federal minimum wage of $7.25 an hour. And I just have to stop there. Oh, my God, $7.25 an hour. And does not adequately enforce fair labor standards. He has hired and personally profited from many undocumented workers while attacking their presence in the U.S. He pays more attention to one golf ball than he does to the estimated $60 billion in annual wage theft, or $350 billion a year, and the health industry's computerized billing fraud, or gouging drug prices he falsely promised the people he would reduce. Never mind impeachment, Ralph Nader writes. Millions of Trump's victims, regardless of how they voted in 2016, should demand his resignation. A million people marched should surround the White House and peacefully make this demand repeatedly. Now, speaking for myself, I think that's a great idea. We should do that. Should also push for impeachment. Because, to coin a phrase, it triggers the bro flakes. It triggers the bro flakes. And it gets more coverage of left ideas. And so we should push for impeachment. What do you think? 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. 87. You can remember that. Call in. Enough of lying Trump's slimy bigotry and his snarling, hateful, bullying speech, always directed at the powerless, Nader writes. Enough of his destructive impact on millions of children, imitating his coarseness towards siblings and parents who, when admonished, blurt out that the president says this and does that. That daily acidic intrusion into family life, a cultural time bomb, has yet to properly interest the media. Cheating Donald J. Trump has gotten away with everything in his failed businesses and his electoral college-caused presidency. In doing, he has taught us much about ourselves, about how we tolerate with chronic indifference the flaying of the rule of law and the principles of decency, helpfulness, peace, and justice. He has taught us about the cost of not doing our political homework, of staying home civically and electorally. He has taught us that if we do not look ourselves in the mirror, the three horsemen of fascism, lawless plutocracy, and oligarchy will run our beloved country into the ground, if not over the fiscal cliff. So that's Ralph Nader writing in commondreams.org. Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. It's the bottom of the hour. You're listening to KBOO Portland. At 10 o'clock on the Heather McCoy Show, Heather talks to Andy Bryant from the National Weather Service about the recently released Spring 2019 flood map. She'll also talk about low-wage workers and food insecurity while taking your calls. At 11, Book Waves host Richard Walensky talks to Trina Robbins, the first woman to draw Wonder Woman, and a legend in underground comics about her memoir, Last Girl Standing, and other recent books. And then at 11:30, it's Words and Pictures, conversations with pioneering animators and comic artists. All on KBOO Portland, which you can support at kboo.fm. In a victory for citizens and yet another massive blow to Monsanto, a federal jury on Wednesday found the company liable for causing a California man's cancer and ordering it to pay $80 million in damages. That is from MotherJones.com, and I've been following that story for quite a while. The trial has been going on and on. And the article quotes Ken Cook of the Environmental Working Group saying, Bayer Monsanto has known for decades the cancer-causing properties of Roundup. And I applaud the jury for holding the company accountable for failing to warn consumers of the known danger. There's more of that article. I may get back to it. Bayer has a lot of money and a lot of lawyers and intends to appeal this and drag things into the courts until that man is quite dead and beyond. But the first decision is a victory. They weren't able to look away from all of the cancers that Monsanto's product causes. And I'm happy about that. I'll go to the first caller. Number call 503-231-8187. And Ellen is on the air. Hi, Ellen.
Hi. Take it off speaker. Okay. I'm probably totally sick of talking about restrooms, but I've
let's do it.
What's your... Pardon?
Let's do it.
Okay. What's your opinion, or have you been in yet, the new restroom in Pioneer Square and the tourist office, the tourist and transit office? They've built a any-sex restroom. Have you seen that yet?
I have not, but I've seen such things.
Okay. And I wondered, is that any better for trans people, or is that something that just makes everybody of any gender uncomfortable?
Well, I guess it is, and it is not. I think in this Me Too era, we have an opportunity to look with open eyes at rape culture and what it does, how it deforms everything, how it supports. I mean, rape is the enforcement mechanism for patriarchy, and nothing that we build, nothing in architecture. In terms of those restrooms, can be built absent that context. The context is there whether we like it or not. Of course, we don't like it, and we don't want to look at it. And so I'm pleased that there are mixed-use restrooms. They are not adequate for women. There need to be women's restrooms where feminine-identified people go in because it excludes masculine-identified people by nature. They're embarrassed. They think they're better than people who want to oppress women think that they're better than women, and they will be excluded at least by that bar. Nothing actually excludes a complete monster from going where they want, of course, but it's an improvement. It is not. It's not where I go. I go to the women's restroom.
I mean, do you think? Well, like if I'm downtown running around, I gotta find a public restroom with going whatever is closest or easiest, rather than trying to figure out what floor in Nordstrom's has their restroom or whatever. So you think men would be more uncomfortable? Straight men would be more uncomfortable in there than women?
Of course.
Maybe I would just put off by stainless steel toilet seats and stainless steel doors to the stalls going to the floor, and it's very sort of industrial, I guess.
Of course, Of course, straight men don't want to go into a women's restroom. I mean, it marks you as a predator from the start, and even if it didn't, it would mark you as feminine, which is unacceptable.
Mm. I guess it's the only thing available there. But, they have uniformed attendants, sometimes male, sometimes female, in there at all times.
I'm talking within this unfortunate context in which we're pretending that trans women are men and are a danger to women in restrooms. It ain't happening.
Right.
I think it would be happening by now. Where's the evidence? This is just a fantasy that conservatives have come up with. But there's a lot more people than trans women, and there are a lot of people who are in various stages of accepting themselves, of transitioning gender, of rejecting gender, and so a bathroom that does not, mark itself with a gender is a very handy thing. I'm glad that it's there. There are people. I mean, the reason I'm dancing around this is because Betsy DeVos types, and Adrian What's Her Face would say that people like me should always only go to a special restroom. As if we only needed to pee, in the one out of 1,000 places that have such a thing. So I'm not accepting that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm old enough that, the medical schools and the law schools didn't even have women's restrooms. When women were first finally managed to claw their way into law school, there was no restroom for women because, the court...
You weren't supposed to be there, yeah. Well, in that context, is got to be acknowledged as well.
It's amazing what we build around bathrooms.
No, I'm really glad you called to talk about that, because that's one of those things that conservatives win because people don't want to. It's kind of uncomfortable. We don't want to go there. What about safe space for women? Women need safe space, and that is why I'm careful. I mean, I'm going to try this. I get a panic going on when I'm on the air about trying to feminize my voice. I go into a public women's restroom. It's got several stalls. I don't want to use my voice because it's right now I'm I'm going all the way to the bottom of my range. There's a word for that. Vocal burn, vocal fry. I'm using vocal fry. I'm using my man voice talking on the air because, deep in my head, I've got this stupid idea that it's more authoritative. It's not. And so if I'm in a public restroom and one of my allies comes in and talks to me, well, I'm pretty careful to talk like this. And I really don't want to talk at all. That's just, I dislike the whole thing because it should be arbitrary. Lord knows, if we could get free of gender binding and gender stereotypes and the oppression of women, then who would ever care what voice I used? It's just like, here I am, this social androgyne, dresses consistently like a woman and feels like a woman, is a woman. And there's that contradiction. And, and here at KBOO, it's just like, well, so what? That's Teresa Mitchell. That's what she does. And but in public, no, that's a problem. I'm really glad that so much progress has been made. But I see, the pushback is it's really inflamed the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. I mean, I just like the one downtown. I think so much of I was put off by stainless steel toilets, stainless steel doors that go to the floor. It's so different from the female restroom I'm accustomed to.
Yeah, well, what it reminds me of is the women's restroom in Jubitz, the truck stop on the north side of town, which I first encountered shortly after I transitioned. I was surprised because I hadn't been in women's restrooms, and I transitioned. I need to use women's restrooms, and so I go into Jubitz because I was driving a bus. I drove TriMet buses for 20 years. I go in there, and it's just like this fortress. And I thought, oh, there's a reason this is so. and kind of made me acknowledge rape culture and think about, you know, where I was at in that whole spectrum. All these things have got to be considered. Thanks for bringing it up.
Okay, thanks, Teresa. Bye-bye.
Number to call, 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. I've been talking about the Mueller Report. I've been talking about the backlash against the existence of transgender people. And if you have comments, call that number, 503-231-8187. One thing that I just brought up was that Monsanto got spanked slightly for causing cancer with Roundup and with glyphosate. And I'll go to the next caller. Karen. Karen's on the air. Number to call, 503-231-8187. Hello, Karen.
Hi. I wanted to do a shout-out for my daughter. She has been trans most of her life. It's just she's I'm really proud of her, and I think that, she's come a long way, and I really want her to be who she wants to be, and that's awesome that, you know, you have a recognizable day for that. So, and then also I wanted to ask a question. The question was, with this Trump ordeal of the Mueller report, what happened with what is happening with the New York investigation, like Southern New York?
Oh, that's ongoing.
Seems to be... Yeah, it's not in the news, but do you know what it's about or what the investigation is for?
Generally speaking, it's about the fact that Trump has run a mobbed-up organization from the get-go. I mean, one of the things that Russiagate has brought up is just I wouldn't say an investigation, but a bit of research on my part to look at who Trump is. How did he retain his wealth? He was paid the equivalent of $47 million by his father to get started. I think it's 47. I might be off by a factor of 10, but it's a hell of a lot to start off with. And he was losing it all decades ago. And the way that he got around that was simply, you know, in a very broad brush, he got friendly with the Russian oligarchy, and he launders money for them via real estate principally.
Uh-huh.
All of this stuff is coming out. This requires, I mean, this is criminal activity. It requires a criminally focused organization. He has criminal habits. I think that's going to become more obvious. And this is, that's one of the reasons I'm saying just pay attention, because over the next 2 to 6 weeks, you're going to see a complete reversal of what seems like, you know, a Trump victory parade right now. Let the conservatives crow, because they're about, you know, they're getting the rope to hang themselves with, and it's going to be satisfying.
Well, if anybody's ever taken an economics class, and it only takes one, we're talking about an economy that's thriving right now, but it ebbs and flows, and there's really no difference between who would have been president for this economy that we're having right now, and he's taking all the benefit of it. And there's, you know, some believers of Trump really like to think that you know, the economy is because of him, and he's just riding that wave. And I hope people quit being brainwashed on what people say and look at the facts and really know the difference of what's going on, because I really was getting worried that people didn't care. But I think it's that people do care, but they don't think that they can do anything about it. But we can vote, and we can, you know, raise a stink and do some things that, you know, mean a lot to people, and get united, you know, in a peaceful way.
And hurrah for KBOO. Hurrah for KBOO being here all these 50 years and maintaining the fight. I'm so glad to be a part of it.
Yes, I'm proud of KBOO, too. Thank you for being on the show, and great Transgender Day, you know.
Thanks.
I'm glad it's being recognized.
Yeah,
have a great day.
Thanks for bringing that up. Yeah, I want to repeat that. It's Transgender Day of Recognition. Let's see, did I get that right? Something close to that. Anyway, that's happening at City Council today. There's going to be testimony this afternoon. Trans flag is out. Everybody's got to have a flag. That's fine. And really, conservatives really react to the words homophobia and transphobia. They want to say they're not afraid, but frankly, without fear, there wouldn't be conservatism. The more that you take a deep breath, relax, and really look at things, the more that you are courageous and clear-eyed, the less you are conservative. And we can make it go away. We can. There's going to be a way. KBOO helps, I think. KBOO is part of that. 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. Now, quoting the counsel for the plaintiff in the Monsanto Bayer trial, in which Roundup was found to be a substantial factor in the development of Mr. Hardiman's cancer, quote, clearly the testimony that informed the jury's decision was Bayer Monsanto hiding Roundup's carcinogenic properties, manipulating the science, and cozying up with EPA so it would not have to warn consumers of its dangerous product, end quote. And that's Ken Cook, president of the Environmental Working Group, in a statement, who also said, Bayer Monsanto has known for decades the cancer-causing properties of Roundup, and I applaud the jury for holding the company accountable for failing to warn consumers of the known danger, end quote. This verdict, he said, puts Bayer's back firmly up against the wall as cost of litigation mounts and its stock price gets pummeled once again, end quote. This is also significant because although this is not the specific decision, this is about glyphosate. And if you're thinking, well, you know, I don't spray that stuff, so I'll be okay. It's everywhere. Last I checked, the city of Portland sprays the stuff. But more than that, it's in the crops. It's in just about every wheat product that you eat. And it is difficult in this culture, this society, if it is a culture, or has any. Let me say it's difficult in the context of corporate food distribution to avoid the stuff. You're being dosed with glyphosate. And it's doing what it's doing to your guts, to your entire body, and has been. And so this is a tremendous victory that there is a court acknowledgement that this is a carcinogenic product. It never stopped being a carcinogenic product, in my opinion. And my opinion is just based on all the facts that I can gather, isn't it? Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. 8187. If you have comments, you're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. I have some more news you're not supposed to know. I've gathered a number of items that are unreported, little reported, or misreported. One of those, this is from Middle East Monitor. Well, and before I quote it, one of the things that we just don't talk about is the U.S. collusion in the war on Yemen, one of the most vicious and cowardly genocidal slaughter campaigns that has yet been conceived. This from Middle East Monitor, at least five British special forces commandos have been wounded in gun battles as part of a top-secret UK military campaign in Yemen. The troops are all said to be members of the Special Boat Service, the Royal Navy's equivalent to the British Army's SAS, which recruits mainly from the Royal Marines. The SBS specializes in, quote, mounting clandestine operations against targets at sea and rivers or harbors and against occupied coastlines, end quote. That's from their armed forces website. The men, who are understood to now be recovering in the UK, were injured during a top-secret military campaign. According to the Mail newspaper, on Sunday, they were treated for leg and arm wounds following battles in the Saada area of northern Yemen, where up to 30 British troops are based. The Mail on Sunday also revealed how RAF engineers sent to Saudi Arabia to repair the kingdom's fleet of military aircraft narrowly escaped death last week. Iranian-backed rebels are reported to have launched a suicide drone strike on the King Khalid Air Base, where they are maintaining tornado jets used to bomb civilian areas in Yemen. So Britain's in on it too. But the real news is your tax dollars are going to slaughter people and starve people to death in Yemen. Ugly? Hell yes. Don't know how it gets much uglier. Maybe I need to remember that under the Bush-Cheney regime and continuing under Obama, we have been imperialists since 1898, been imperialists since 1492, so to speak. That's a little broad brush, but yeah, that kind of thing. 9:48 is the time. You're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. Go to the next caller. Number to call, 503-231-8187. Hi, you're on the air. Dennis, you're on the air.
Hello, is anybody on the air?
Yes, you are.
Okay. I wanted to mention something which you talked about at the beginning of the show. You talked about Betsy DeVos, who was, before the committee. Well, and I wanted to mention another thing that she is proposing, I guess, and she has it in a position to do this, to do something, that she's proposing eliminating all funding for special ed. I mean, this is outrageous. It's just totally outrageous. Did you hear that?
Yes. Isn't that cruel?
It's just unbelievable. Okay. Thank you. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
All right. It needs to be said. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Number to call, 503-231-8187. Yes, Betsy DeVos, with her patrician rictus, would smile and tell you that, we just don't have the money for that. Following the recognition of the Israeli annexation of the Golan Heights by President Donald Trump, the United States has come under fire in the UN Security Council. This is from Frankfurter Allgemeine Zeitung, and it is clumsily translated by machine. Even Britain, they write, the United States' closest ally said Wednesday at the emergency meeting in New York requested by Syria that the act was a violation of UN Resolution 497, which declared the annexation null and void. The other states represented on the panel, including Germany and Belgium, condemned Washington's biased approach. Why is it declared null and void? Because it is simply a conquest by aggression. But returning to the translated article, Trump this week acknowledged Israel's sovereignty over the Syrian Golan Heights in 1981 in the presence of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. The annexation of the area conquered during the Six-Day War of 1967 was never recognized by the international community. It has been international consensus to date that the status of the High Plateau can only be decided as part of a comprehensive peace settlement. Following Trump's decision, the United Nations stressed that, from their point of view, the legal status of Golan Heights does not change. The European countries and the UN Security Council, Germany, Belgium, France, UK, and Poland also declared on Tuesday that they continue to regard the Golan Heights as Syrian territory. So that's at Frankfurter Allgemeine Zeitung, and of course, this being the 21st century, you don't have to read it in German. I translate these things. I look for them specifically to get a different perspective, if you're wondering. I really don't speak German, and I understand just enough to see the headline, then I translate the rest and see if it's interesting. So that's how I get that, and you can do the same thing, and it is a good way to clear your head sometimes of U.S. monopoly media manipulation. Time is 9:51. You're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. Now, regarding the Trump-Israeli butt-kissing, ironically, this sort of thing is driven by bigotry. American evangelistic conservative Christians have the grotesque and bigoted idea extracted in a contorted way from their own scripture that Israelis, Jews, are the tools of Satan. And Jews as tools of Satan under this worldview, have a destiny of, they think, supporting the United States right up until the apocalypse, the rapture. The rapture. Which time they'll all get a choice of converting to Christianity or being genocided by God. You can't make this stuff up. Wait, they did make this stuff up. And so, therefore, we are to support Israel and, fork over billions, tens of billions of dollars over the years and more in cash, logistics, and politically support the Israelis as a garrison state for the oil companies and as a racist European colony opposed to all persons of Arab extraction and all persons who aren't shiny white. That's what it boils down to. Israel against the Schwarzers. And that's the part that the American evangelicals really like. And it's because they've got this ugly intent to have their deity slaughter them all. Weird, isn't it? Welcome to America. Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Now, from Agence France-Presse, Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro is being squeezed internationally as the United States pressures key multilateral bodies to boot out his representatives, which they are calling illegitimate. To publicly underline America's position and its support of Venezuelan opposition leader Juan Guaido as interim leader, U.S. President Donald Trump on Wednesday welcomed Guaido's wife, Fabiana Rosales de Guaido, to the White House. Trump boasted Maduro and his regime, quote, have got plenty of pressure right now, end quote, adding, quote, other than military, you can't get any more pressure than they have, end quote. Agence France-Presse writes, but at home, Maduro has dug in, determined to stay in charge of his now impoverished oil-producing country of 30 million people. And speaking for myself, maybe that's because he was elected. And that's the actual truth, whether anyone likes it or not. Again, I find that even the American left can be browbeaten into believing anything. And there's lefties out there, or people who call themselves lefties, who will criticize Maduro first. And even I'll admit that Maduro's made mistakes, but he really was elected. And he was elected with, I would say, more legitimacy than Trump was. They write, the beleaguered socialist leader, they have to throw in socialist, has been, never mind that, you know, it's just their business in their country. Anyway, the beleaguered socialist leader, Agence France-Presse writes, has been boosted by overt support from main ally Russia, which last weekend deployed 100 troops and military equipment to Venezuela. Moscow says it is working to prevent a U.S.-backed coup, and they put coup in scare quotes, like a coup. A U.S.-backed coup? They would never do that, except that we have many times. And we've certainly done it in Venezuela. Anyway, I'll go to the next caller. I believe that you will probably be the last caller. Tony, you're on the air.
Yeah, hey, I won't take up too much of the time and wanted to say happy Trans Day. And actually, it's in regards to that. I wanted to make a quick statement.
Okay.
As a hetero man, I understand that my privilege sometimes gets in the way of things. And I just wanted to make a statement to all hetero men, and that's to learn to stay quiet and to listen to others. And if you're allowed, if you're trusted enough to be in safe spaces, that's when you have to really, really be quiet and just listen. And also learn how to use your privilege. When you're out in public, you have the privilege to use your privilege on other hetero people to call them out on their transphobia or their homophobia. Please do so, because I think that's the best way to use our privilege. But anyways, that's all I really wanted to say, and thank you very much for your time.
Thanks for calling in. All right, time is 9:56. I may have time for yet another call. Let me check and see if that's the case. Okay, we're not waiting for that. All right. Now, from VenezuelaAnalysis.com, which I encourage you to turn to as alternative media, Dateline Caracas, U.S. President Donald Trump addressed the Venezuelan political crisis on Wednesday, issuing warnings against Russia and vowing once more that all options are open. Russia has to get out, Trump reporters told reporters during a White House meeting with Fabiana Rosales. Skipping ahead, Trump added that situations like Venezuela should never have happened and promised to fix it, pledging full support for Guaido. The U.S. was the first to recognize Guaido after he swore himself in on January 23rd, repeatedly calling on the Venezuelan military to oust Maduro. U.S. officials have imposed successive rounds of harsh economic sanctions, including an oil embargo. Both governments severed diplomatic ties on March 12th, following unsuccessful attempts to downgrade embassies to interest sections. So now it's getting to the top of the hour, and I don't have time to get into the news from VenezuelaAnalysis.com about Venezuela, but I want to say that it does have to do with white privilege. And you are being encouraged to believe that the people of color in Venezuela are so stupid, clumsy, and incompetent that it's really better that the white people in the North impose a savior upon them, you know, like the character in, what's the movie about the blue people? I can't remember what it is, right? Well, I couldn't rattle that off. Avatar! Thank you, engineer. Like the Avatar. And, you know, our white savior is going to come in and make things better, because white people really know how to run things like a business, by golly, and get things straight and do things right. And it's so important that the white people run Venezuela that we will look the other way and or forgive the Contra War and the vicious and devastating poverty-inducing sanctions that have been imposed against Venezuela for many years now. And that's how we do things here in America. Well, stay tuned, because at 10 o'clock it's the Heather McCoy Show, and you're going to be glad that you stayed tuned for that. You're listening to Press Watch on 90.7 FM from our big Eiffel Tower on the West Hills, other frequencies in Cascadia, and via KBOO.FM to all the ships at sea.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Challenging the Both Sides Narrative, Difference Between Fascist and Antifa Movements in the Trump Era, on Thursday, April 4th from 7 to 9 p.m. at Cider Riot in Portland. Challenging the Both Sides Narrative is a talk by Dr. Stanislav Vysotsky. This talk will provide an overview of contemporary fascist and anti-fascist movements with a focus on the key differences between them. Again, that's Challenging the Both Sides Narrative, Difference Between Fascist and Antifa Movements in the Trump Era, on Thursday, April 4th from 7 to 9 p.m. at Cider Riot, 807 Northeast Cooch Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the world premiere of Jump, co-produced by Confrontation Theater and the Milagro Theater. The play runs from March 21st through April 13th at the Milagro Theater in Portland. Jump is the story of a 20-something who is reeling from the death of her mother. She is looking for solace in a good place to vape, but what she finds is a journey of self-discovery. Again, that's Jump. Every Thursday, Friday, and Saturday from March 21st through April 13th at the Milagro Theater, 525 Southeast Stark Street in Portland. More information can be found at K.